Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. As the days get longer and the skies get warmer, people want to go out and have fun, looking for an enjoyable night on the town. So this week, I'm looking at two new entertaining feel-good movies that at first glance might seem to be just the opposite. One's about a horrible monster terrorizing a small island, and the other's about the end of the world. But before that, let me tell you about a few of the movies playing at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival, showing films from around the world through the weekend and digitally until June 18th. The festival opened with Once Upon My Mother, also known as Ma Mère, Dieu et Sylvie Vartan. Bilingual Canadian director Ken Scott's humorous look at the memoir of Roland Perez, a renowned Parisian attorney. He's the sixth child in a crowded family of Moroccan immigrants born with a club foot in 1963, but whose driven mother Esther, wonderfully played by Leila Bechti, refuses to accept. She and willpower alone will make him walk, no, dance, as if there were no physical problems standing in his way. Her efforts are all done to the tune of pop singer Sylvie Vartan on his sister's record player as he struggles to learn to read. This is a charming and quirky family comedy. In The Other, Canadian documentarian Jay Sella attempts the impossible to film people from two sides of an intractable conflict, that of Israel and Palestine, talking frankly with each other. Ordinary Israelis and Palestinians from the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza, and those from Israel proper voluntarily getting together. People on both sides of this polarizing conflict whose families or friends have been killed, kidnapped, jailed, or persecuted attempt to share personal photos and stories and actually get to know the other of the title. While most of the film was shot before the enormities of the current Gaza war took place, it's still important in that it holds out the hope of peace and understanding at the end of this brutal war and the events and conditions that led up to it. Never Alone, directed by Finnish director Klaus Haro, is a true story set in Helsinki in 1942, where an outspoken prominent businessman, Abraham Stiller, played by Ville Virtanen, comes to the rescue of a group of Jewish refugees who arrive by ship from Austria. And soon after, Stiller has a noisy run-in in his store with a random customer, a man who loudly opposes the presence of refugees. What he doesn't realize is he has picked a fight with Arno Antony, a Nazi collaborator and the head of the Finnish state police. The movie has a noirish feel, full of secret papers, clandestine backroom deals, and shadowy prison cells. Never Alone is a tense historical drama that looks at Finland's somewhat spotty record in the first half of World War II. How to Train Your Dragon, co-written and directed by Dean DeBlois. It's the Middle Ages on a remote mountainous island populated by a multicultural Viking consortium. They speak with Scottish brogues and wear pointy horns on their helmets. Their biggest problem? Dragons of every shape and form who steal their sheep and wreak havoc. Stoic, the island's ridiculously bearded chieftain, played by Gerard Butler, leads them repeatedly into dangerous battles with these fire-breathing monsters in the hope of someday discovering their lair and killing them all. But young Hiccup, played by Mason Thames, an inventive non-conformist, just doesn't want to kill Dragon. He's a lover, not a fighter, and has a major crush on the young swordswoman Astrid, played by Nico Parker. when he discovers a disabled Night Fury dragon that he names Toothless. Hiccup fashions a prosthesis so he can fly again. He trains Toothless to fill a space somewhere between rival, best friend, and pet. And by closely observing the strengths and foibles, Hiccup learns all the dragon's secrets. But his dad, the chieftain, enrolls him in a gladiator-like training camp full of ambitious Viking wannabes with names like Snotlout, Fishlegs, Roughnut, and Toughnut to teach him how to kill the beasts, including his secret best friend. Are dragons the dreaded enemies of the Vikings, or are they just big misunderstood puppy dogs? If How to Train Your Dragon sounds familiar, it's because it's a live-action remake of the hit 2010 3D animated kids movie by the same name. And in the same vein, this review is largely the same as the one I wrote 15 years ago. Hey, if they could do it, I could do it. But I was a bit trepidatious. I had a bit of trepidation about what they might do to the cartoon version, which I really like. Well, no need to worry. It's similar but not identical. The animated version is funnier and goofier. I like the new costumes, though, especially the furry mucklucks they all wear. Part of the cast, like Gerard Butler, are back again, and the newbies, especially Mason Thames with his cartoon-like features, fit their parts just fine. But as I watched this one on the big screen, I was blown away by the spectacular mid-air flying scenes where Hiccup rides through the skies on the back of Toothless. I don't remember that. I don't remember that with the first one, but when I looked at my old review, there it was. The effects were great with a lot of breathtaking scenes and battles and a good amount of suspense at times. I felt like being part of a good video game, weaving between rock formations through the clouds under the northern lights, and I mean that as a compliment, I wrote then. This may be a kid's movie, but I totally enjoyed watching How to Train Your Dragon all over again. The Life of Chuck, co-written and directed by Mike Flanagan. Marty, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, is a school teacher in a bucolic small town who feels a bit strange. Things aren't functioning like they used to. Everyday people and buildings disappear, even as the stars in the sky fizzle out one by one. No cell phones, no radio, no TV. The one thing that is working are posters, billboards, skywriters, and flashy ads everywhere celebrating an unknown man named Chuck. Who is this Chuck? What's going on? Is this the end of the world? Yes, it is. Well, sort of. But then comes Act 2. A well-dressed man in a business suit hears a busker playing the drums in a city square in Boston, and he begins to dance, first alone and then with a ginger-haired woman who is caught up in the excitement, joins him. Here is the Chuck Krantz, played by Tom Hiddleston, we've been hearing so much about. And then there's Act 3, which fills in the blanks where Chuck came from, played here as a young man by Jacob Tremblay, why he is so central in this story, and what he represents to the world, as we can see, and how magic plays a small part. While The Life of Chuck is ostensibly a film about the end of the world, as seen through horrormeister Stephen King's eyes, that's the guy who brought us The Shining and Carrie and Misery and Cujo and Pet Sematary, this is actually a sweet and gentle revelatory movie that owes more to the poems of Walt Whitman than to any monsters or vampires. I have to admit, I'm not a fan of Tom Hiddleston. I didn't like him in the Hank Williams biopic or as Loki in the Thor movies, but he is just perfect in this movie about Chuck. So if you're in the mood for a really nice, inspiring, easy-to-watch movie with lots of semi-profundities, you should see this uncategorizable and always surprising film, Life of Chuck. I really like this one. How to Train Your Dragon and The Life of Chuck open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. Never Loan the Other and Ma Mère Dieu et Sylvie Vartan are among many films playing at TJFF. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.